And our next guest has been researching and working with wool for more than 40 years. She has her own cultural center and gallery on the west coast of Norway. Karine has been a guest instructor at North House Folk School for the past few weeks and joins us now in the studio. Welcome, Karine.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Tusen takk.
We are so happy to have you with us. And you have been enjoying our beautiful town for 3 weeks now.
Yes, 3 weeks today. Yeah.
Teaching at the North House Folk School. Can you tell us a little bit about your classes?
That's been good. I have had a lot of different people, young as well as elderly adults, and it's been very good. And it's been an experience for me to meet people here to see what they think about wool and the experience they have with, because I do wet felting, not needle felting, so it's been an experience for me to meet people here also.
Good. Nice. And I was going to say that you work with wool and felting. Tell us about that wet felting. What do you do?
Wet felting is the oldest textile technique in the world we know about. It's so old, we don't know how old it is. And Norway has a long tradition for this. So I actually learned it from my grandmother and have continued and developed my own things. And I use it as an art medium, and I use only wool, water, soap, and my hands. That's all I need. So it's very cheap.
Sure.
You don't need to buy equipment and things.
And
cost a lot.
You learned this from your grandmother?
Yeah. My grandmother, she did felting. She knit socks and felt socks for my father and my grandfather and my uncle for fishing, because I brought up on an island on the west coast of Norway, so we need a boat to leave the island, so yeah.
So you grew up in Norway, and now you were teaching these classes at North House Folk School. Have you taught classes anywhere else in the United States?
No, I haven't been here, but I've been around the North Atlantic for at least 20 years and did teaching around in Shetland, Orkney, Faroe Islands, Iceland, Outer Hebrides, around the North Atlantic Sea, yes.
Well, and I understand that the wool that you use is different than the wool that we get here. Can you tell us about the sheep and the wool that you use?
Yeah, I have for many, many years now, since 1995, set focus on the native sheep of Norway, which is a similar sheep as, and genetically actually, the same sheep as the Viking kept.
Oh.
It's a very, very hardy, and the sheep wool is two-coated. You can see there is a bottom wool, and that's nice and smooth, and you can use it on the skin. And then they had the outer guard, which is the raincoat. That keeps the sheep dry and warm, because they are out all year. They're on the coastline of Norway, they can go out in wintertime, all year. And that's a special wool because it's coarse and fine at the same time. And it's really a very smart sheep as well. So it's interesting sheep because we haven't... It's like it was when it's from generations ago. So it hasn't been breeded on like a modern sheep. So it's smart, and he can help himself, lambing and things like that. He's very healthy, and the meat is beautiful, and we can also use the wool. And our fishermen, years and generations ago, they survived on this wool. If they hadn't had that, they would have been frozen on the feet and the fingers so they couldn't do the fishing, which was... That was actually who kept the food on the table for them. So this has been a very important kind of sheep for generations. And in the early 50s, there was not more than 500 left of these, because there was more interesting with modern big bulky sheep. So we nearly lost them. And they are not only for the meat and the wool, but they are really good to keep the landscape as well. So it's not, we have a problem with overgrowing now, and they keep the landscape clean and open, like it should be on the coast. Yeah.
So in order to get the numbers back up when you were so
low.
The,
this is, we have now 50, 60,000 of these sheep. So we managed out from this 500 to raise the amount of sheep. And that's, it's a very good history because sheep has a low priority. Not many farmers keep sheep nowadays as they used to because it doesn't give so much income. And these sheep now, they can go out all year round. So it's not so expensive to keep them either. They don't eat, they can eat all the kind of seaweed as well as the heather and grass. So it's cheap and healthy. It's good.
Nice. When you were talking about the quality of the wool and the water, was it water resistant then?
It is, because they produce a lot of lanolin, which more or less give the inner wool, the bottom wool, dry because it's sort of a waterproof thing.
Yeah.
The Viking used this wool for the sails and the lanolin was sort of added into the sail. So it was waterproof. If it wasn't waterproof, they will broke the whole thing, and then they couldn't sail around the North Atlantic Sea.
Well, I can see where sailors and fishermen would really like this type of wool then.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess everything has its purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah, because we have about 1,000 different kinds of sheep around the world, and each one produces their own special wool. So you can have some nice wool for the skin, and this, especially for the Vilsau, which is the name we use, Vilsau, means wild sheep, but it's not wild. It's kept like wild, but it is a wild sheep because it jump over your head and all fences around, and you know exactly what you want to do, so you can't stop him. So
sure.
Yeah, so it's a very, very good sheep to have on the coastline.
One of the things that you make are these bird sculptures. And can you tell me about the project that with using the wool?
I use wool for sculpturing. So tomorrow from 10 to 12, I will demonstrate how I do sculpture my birds.
Uh-huh.
How I build them up. So this is sort of a birds. And since I'm brought up on an island, I'm very close related to the seabirds because they are big and they are really good shape. So I mainly do seabirds.
Okay.
But the inspiration comes from the seabirds. So it turned out to be something funny things, but it's a bird. Yeah.
And do you use this special wool?
Yeah. I use all kinds of wool actually. But tomorrow I will use some of the Vilsau wool so you can see the difference between fine and coarser wool and how much you can. One of my birds is about a meter tall and one is even taller than that. So you can use wool for all kinds of things. The only thing you can't do is to eat it.
No eating wool.
No.
Now back to Norway. You run a gallery and have a culture center.
Yeah.
What are these like?
I have a culture center up on the coast, mid between Bergen and Trondheim, on a fishing village there. And the gallery shows different, especially textiles, made from a woman's hand.
Okay.
And I also have a gallery shop who I sell craft and art and craft. And we have space for people to come and work. And I run courses. So it's a culture center. And the main idea behind it is to use art and craft as a medium for district's development. It's a small place, and people come to this place very much like North House here, the North House Folkskole here. People are coming here to do things with their hands.
And are you open year-round?
Yes.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow. And I did mention earlier, and you mentioned as well, that you've been teaching at North House for the past 3 weeks. And tomorrow you host a demonstration at North House at the Green Building beginning at 10 a.m. And you're giving a lecture at noon
Yeah, 12 o'clock. Yeah.
12 o'clock. What should people expect when they attend tomorrow?
They can see the different qualities of wool I've used, and they can see my products. I have a small exhibition there, so people can see different techniques and hats and whatever. And I will speak about these different sheep around the North Atlantic Sea. The Viking brought the wool sow in their boats around the sea and the islands there. And each place have developed their own sheep now, still alive. So this is I will going to speak about the heritage after the Vikings and the North Atlantic native sheep and wool projects I started in 2010, and to set focus on these native sheep, because I think that they are really unique, and they are losing because people want to have the modern sheep in, which is more bulky, gives more meat, but they are not so smart. They are much more expensive than this native one. So the main thing for me was to put focus on what's happening around the North Atlantic Sea. They're throwing away the wool, they burn it, and the farmers doesn't get paid. So that's the main thing. I'm going to talk about this project and what we have done and how much have come out of that. So I will speak about an hour about this tomorrow.
Karine Flatoy Svarstad, an international guest instructor at North House Folk School. Thank you, Karine, for stopping in to talk with us at the Roadhouse. Can we ask you to say something in Norwegian before you leave?
Yeah, tusen takk for invitasjonen. Thanks for having me here.
Well, thank you so much for coming. It's been a pleasure.